Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the epistle that was just read, and I'll read it again, adding verse 6, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6 through 8. Your boasting is not a good thing. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new batch, as you are unleavened. For our paschal lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the festival not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Dear friends in Christ, the theme for this morning's Easter address is wearing white for Eastertide. These words are taken from a poem by A.E. Housman on the beauty of the cherry blossom. Loveliest of trees, the cherry now is hung with bloom along the bough and stands about the woodland ride, wearing white for Eastertide. On Sunday, our churches were all decked with white, and there were white lilies in the sanctuary and other white flowers. White, as you well know, is the symbol for purity in the New Testament and in the whole of Scripture. We think of the armies of heaven clothed in white in the book of Revelation, wearing fine linen, white and pure. The victorious saints also in the book of Revelation, clothed in white robes. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now St. Paul is addressing us. Let's celebrate the feast. Let's celebrate the festival, wearing white for Eastertide. Let's celebrate not only the great feast of Easter itself, not only every Sunday, which is the great weekly festival of our Lord's resurrection, but every day of our lives. Let the whole of our lives be a celebration of the purity that has been conferred on us in Christ through his victory over sin at the first Easter. This is the feast of victory for our God, is what we sang on Sunday. Easter is the greatest victory feast of the church year. The Passover lamb put to death for our sins and the sins of the whole world was raised for our justification. Unlike the Passover lambs of the Old Testament who had to be sacrificed repeatedly year after year and still couldn't perfect the consciences of the Old Testament people, we have been perfected once for all through the shedding of Christ's blood and his resurrection. Each of us can now have a pure conscience which is sprinkled with the blood of Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, rings out the book of Revelation. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing. These are the songs of Easter, the Easter victory. In his letter to the Corinthians, Paul doesn't forget this. Even though the Corinthian congregation is full of aberrations and needs to be corrected on many, many points, Paul's letter from beginning to end is an affirmation of the Easter gospel, concluding with the great Easter chapter in chapter 15. At the beginning of this epistle, St. Paul affirms to these people that they are God's saints. They are God's church in Corinth, he says in verse 2 of the epistle, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. And later, after he's catalogued some of the sins that they shouldn't fall into, he says, such were some of you, that you were washed, you were justified, you were sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. And these are the texts that surround our text for this morning. In our text for this morning, Paul bases his appeal for purity in the congregation on the fact that they already are pure. And so we read in verse 7, "Clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, just as you are unleavened." The indicative affirmation here, you are unleavened. You are God's people, you are God's saints. Therefore, clean out the old leaven. You are pure, you are wearing white for Eastertide, he says. In your baptism you've been washed and made clean in the blood of Christ. And so these many problems that are besetting your congregation in Corinth, all the setbacks, all the sins, shouldn't discourage you. Take comfort, take encouragement in the gospel. Never lose your joy in that gospel. At the same time, Paul doesn't hold back from addressing the problems in the congregation very pointedly. He says you are to live up to the purity you've received in Christ. You are called saints, now live like saints. Let the purity that was imputed to you in your baptism put a deep impression on your lives from day to day. We all know how special events in our lives and special events in the life of the church, the life of this seminary too, lead to special effort to clean up, to tidy up, to make good preparations. How many of us with this past Easter didn't make special efforts to vacuum and clean our homes so that they'd be bright and joyous for Easter? Housewives in Finland before Christmas clean their homes from end to end very thoroughly. Many Americans have the custom, which I find very beautiful. We don't have the same incentive in Australia, it not being spring at that time of year, but Americans like to brighten their lives at Easter by buying new outfits. Now, in the Old Testament, as you well know, the custom that attended Easter, that attended the Passover, was the cleaning out, the thorough cleaning out of all the old leaven, all the sourdough from the home, and making a beginning then with a new batch of dough. Now, what St. Paul is saying to us this morning is, if for the Old Testament people the Passover was attended, accompanied by this thorough cleansing of the home, now in the New Testament era, the time of the New Testament covenant, how much more shouldn't we be careful to cleanse and to brighten our lives in accordance with the Easter message? To sweep out sin, as Luther put it, and to attend to the daily sweeping out of sin. To be constantly making a new beginning as new creatures in Christ. And yet, as St. Paul found in Corinth, and amongst the Romans too, where there's a fresh discovery of the gospel, God's people often become slack and take the attitude, well, if our sins are all covered by the Lamb of God, it doesn't matter too much if we sin. It doesn't matter too much if we don't try too hard to subdue the old Adam. As I said, Paul confronted that already amongst the Romans and the Corinthians. He addresses this problem in Romans 6. Luther had to confront it in the Antinomian controversy. Modern Lutheranism has had to contend with it too in the controversy about the third use of the law. Listen to Luther's words to the Antinomians. "My antinomians," beautiful Luther, "my antinomians are preaching beautifully about Christ's grace and the forgiveness of sins. But they flee as if it were the very devil, the consequence that they should tell the people about the third article of sanctification, that is, of the new life in Christ. They think that under no circumstances should one use these or similar words Listen, you want to be a Christian and at the same time remain an adulterer, a whoremonger, a drunken swine, arrogant, covetous, a usurer, envious, vindictive, malicious, etc. Instead they say, listen, though you are an adulterer, though you are a whoremonger, a miser, or other kind of sinner, if you but believe, you are saved and you need not fear the law. Christ has fulfilled it all. And Luther goes on, but there is no such Christ. There is no such Christ that died for sinners who do not, after the forgiveness of sins, desist from sins and lead a new life. These antinomians may be fine Easter preachers, but they are very poor Pentecost preachers, for they do not preach about the sanctification by the Holy Spirit. We notice how in this text for this morning, how clearly and succinctly Paul preaches both Easter and Pentecost. First he preaches Easter, reminding us of the great sacrifice of Christ. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let's celebrate. Let our whole lives be ones of celebratory joy. But then he goes on and he preaches Pentecost, the sanctification by the Holy Spirit which befits our celebration. He says, as you celebrate, don't bring along to the celebration that old food. Don't bring along your malice, your boasting, your lack of concern for serious sins in your midst, your wickedness, your sourness. A little sourdough leavens the whole lump. One bad apple ruins the whole barrel, as we would say. Don't let your personal life, your family life, your community life be spoiled and soured by the black garments of sin. Let's wear white for Eastertide. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit, Paul reminds them. Don't take along that old food. Take along rather the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth, or as the Good News Bible puts it, purity and truth. The word translated sincerity actually means, or originally meant, tested by the light of the sun. So our conduct should be able to stand up to the light of the sun, to the light of day, and therefore the meaning sincerity or purity. Then Paul adds we should walk in truth. How much it delighted St. John to hear of members of his congregations walking in the truth. Speaking the truth in love, Paul would say. Remember how Corinthians has the great chapter on love. Love that is patient and kind, not sour. So in keeping with the great festival and the joy of Easter, let's all, in our personal lives, our family lives, our community life, be making a fresh start, cleansing out the old sourdough and brightening up our lives with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. May the Lord help us through his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, Amen.